Yellowstone National Park is home to many wondrous sites. One wonder is its petrified forests. Evolutionists claim that these represent many forests, each growing over a period of hundreds or even thousands of years. But is there another explanation? Stay tuned.
When you look at these things more closely, though, you find out it may not at all have taken that much time.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. Standing in for Chris O'Brien, I'm Mark Rashi. For many years, there was a sign in Yellowstone that explained that petrified forests were a testimony to long geologic ages, that each layer in the forest represented hundreds or thousands of years. But due to new geologic evidence, that sign has finally been removed. Stay with us as we look at the many evidences that bring a new understanding to petrified forests. But first, Dr. Steve Austin is professor of geology at ICR's Graduate School.
At Yellowstone, there are a series of 27 distinct layers with logs, many of them in vertical position, standing upright, appearing to be multiple forests which grew there. The evidences for that are weak, but the signs at Yellowstone for a number of years have communicated that, and for over 100 years, geologists have known about Yellowstone and have said that this is a succession of forests.
And if these layers are successive forests in growth position, as evolutionists claimed, then this would imply long periods of time in Earth history. Botanist Dr. Karen Jensen.
There are some people who have actually, when looking at Yellowstone fossil forest and imagining that it took hundreds and hundreds of years for each layer, when there's over 20 layers, and if each one is several hundred years, that would mean thousands of years for this whole sequence to grow. And they have actually lost faith in a short time for Earth history when they see that. Now, when you look at these things more closely, though, you find out it may not at all have taken that much time.
Dr. Harold Coffin is a biologist with one of the first groups of creation scientists that attempted to explain the Yellowstone fossil forests in a creation framework.
Well, when we first went, we were under the assumption that the trees were in position of growth, but we questioned the time elements. We thought perhaps some of these levels were overlapping levels, or that they were trees growing on a hillside and not on individual levels. But as we examined the situation, we realized that those interpretations were not possible, that they were distinctly sitting on different levels, one above another. And of course, where you have a vertical cliff with vertical trees on levels one above another, there is no way that they could be growing contemporaneously. They would have to have grown successively after each forest was buried.
So this posed a dilemma for creationists. They noticed characteristics of these fossils that raised questions and led them to a different interpretation of Yellowstone's petrified forests.
The trees themselves and with the plant material itself, we noticed that there was quite a wide variety, not just of trees, but of shrubs and plants and so on, which were from many different habitats, normally habitats that don't grow together, dry area plants, plants that grow in wet, plants even that grow in water, trees from tropical regions, trees from temperate regions, etc. So that caused us to question, could these trees have all been growing, or these plants have all been growing at the same time in the same place? Then we noticed that the stumps that were lying horizontal were lined up in the same compass direction, which indicated mudslides that had moved the stumps around, or currents that had lined the stumps up.
And when scientists studied the fossil tree rings, they also gained interesting information that conflicted with the separate forest idea.
Mike Arkt was responsible for doing quite a bit of the tree ring study, or the dendrochronology, and he has found instances in which trees on different levels match, the rings match, or there are anomalous rings that agree from one level to another. It's impossible for, as I mentioned, for these trees to have grown contemporaneously, And if there are matching rings from trees on different levels, then those trees must have grown somewhere else contemporaneously and then been transported and deposited onto different levels.
And growing forests should have roots.
Sometimes when we dig down into the root structure, which we don't do in Yellowstone, but we have outside the park, we find that the roots are broken off abruptly. That's unusual for trees that are in position of growth. Also, there is an absence of weathering. I mentioned that in connection with these organic levels, but the trees too. Very, very seldom do you find any trees that show any evidence of decay or weathering. And that ought to be present if there is a significant amount of time involved.
And another problem for the standard evolutionary view, the supposed soil layers don't look like true soil. Dr. Jensen.
The layers at the base of the tree trunks are silt layers, and that's where the fossil leaves are found. And if these were soil layers, you would expect to have good preservation of the leaves on the top, and then the lower parts might be expected, the leaves might be expected to be more decomposed. However, I have also here a piece that's several centimeters thick, you know, several inches thick, and it's got as good preservation on the top as on the bottom. In fact, that's the way it is all the way through. You don't find any evidence of humus formation like in soils. You find good preservation of the leaves and other plant parts on the top as well as the bottom as well as the top of the supposed soil layers.
On May 18, 1980, a catastrophic geologic event occurred at Mount St. Helens in Washington State.
Dr. Steve Austin.
A gigantic landslide and steam explosion overwhelmed a lake north of the volcano, creating a miniature laboratory for the study of petrified forests. The giant water wave up to 860 feet high that was created by the landslide at Mount St. Helens and the steam blast placed 1 million logs in a 3-square-mile area lake.
This has provided a natural laboratory to study how petrified forests may fossilize.
1 million logs, mostly from mixed species, about 10 species of conifers, floated in Spirit Lake after May 18, 1980. And over the years, about 500,000 logs have been deposited on the bottom of the lake. And we've been watching what's been happening to the logs in Spirit Lake. And we've discovered something, that logs float vertical. They stand vertically in the lake very short period of time, then they fall to the bottom and they stand upright. One end of the log tends to float, the other tends to sink. They go into upright position and they fall to the bottom. The top of the tree typically is more floatable, and so the tree is replanted on the bottom of the lake. When we did a sonar survey of Spirit Lake after the eruption, we discovered tens of thousands of logs standing upright on the bottom of the lake. What would Spirit Lake look like if you drained it? It would look like a forest that grew there. But the whole thing has been replanted after the eruption in 1980.
And over the years, scientists have discovered that the way the trees are deposited on the bottom of the lake is very interesting.
We've discovered that the conifer forest, the mixed conifer forest, has deposited different species at different times on the bottom of the lake. For example, the tree called noble fir fell out first. They floated upright and fell to the bottom almost immediately. Within 2 years, we never saw another floating log of noble fir. That means that the initial deposit on the bottom of the lake is a bunch of noble fir standing upright. Then following that were other trees like silver fir and hemlock and other trees that started falling out. And they deposited on top of that. And then sedimentation was going on more and more. And then we finally got Douglas fir being the dominant species now in the floating log mat in Spirit Lake. And now the main logs that are being deposited. So we have a species stratified deposit on the bottom of Spirit Lake with upright logs standing vertically through the various layers of the deposit.
It could appear as if they were many successive forests grown over long periods of time.
And you could imagine how the climate had changed, going from a noble fir forest dominantly to silver fir and hemlock, and then finally to a Douglas fir forest. And you could imagine the passing of ages as these logs grew in a forest, and you could tell a story like that. But we know at Mount St. Helens at Spirit Lake that all of this happened very rapidly after the eruption of Mount St. Helens.
And it's interesting to apply what we have seen at Mount St. Helens to other geologic deposits, especially Yellowstone.
Mount St. Helens is a miniature laboratory for the study of catastrophe theory, and we have seen set up before our eyes a demonstration of how logs can be deposited rapidly, having the appearance of being multiple forests, which we could imagine formed over millions of years. Evolutionists like to challenge creationists and say, well, we have millions of years in the stratigraphic record. Example was Yellowstone's petrified forest, and yet now we look at Yellowstone and have to reconsider it. The sign at Yellowstone that used to announce the 27 distinct petrified forests, the sign is gone, and we have this model now at Mount St. Helens to illustrate how logs may have originally been deposited in a catastrophe.
And this should strengthen our faith in the scriptures. Dr. Jensen.
The Bible does tell us a time period from creation to the time of Noah, and a time period from the time of Noah to the time of Abraham. And we know about when Abraham was in history to the present. And roughly that's 2,000 years from creation to Abraham, 2,000 from Abraham to Christ, 2,000 from Christ to now. And that basically tells us that there's only a few thousand years that we're dealing with here. This is a basic, simple reading of Scripture. And when a Christian disbelieves that, it kind of shakes the foundation a bit. When you find out that the fossil record fits with this, with a short chronology, then it removes that problem for you. In fact, if you believe that the fossils show long ages, or that matter evolved for billions of years, you forget a little bit about your dependence on God, and your dependence on God is one of the most fundamental things that the Lord is showing us. And I think that the short chronology is something that helps us to realize, whoa, we need Him. We can't depend on evolution or something to bring us to where we are.
We hope you've enjoyed our program today and that you've had your faith in Scripture strengthened. If you'd like more information about the Yellowstone Petrified Forests, we'd like to send you a free impact article, article number 268. We'll also include information about the ministry of the Institute for Creation Research. Please ask for article number 268 when you contact us. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. 1-800-7-GENESIS or 1-800-743-6374. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Mark Rashi. Thanks for tuning in.